From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, what's the connection between federal disaster relief funding and Planned Parenthood? Well, House Democrats are demanding Planned Parenthood be included in additional disaster aid funding currently being considered in Congress. South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman is here with the details. Also, the Trump administration is taking a tough stand on trade with China. Where is this headed? Asian expert Gordon Chang is here with the latest. And you would almost count on any of the legislative priorities of Nancy Pelosi and her party to advance abortion. Well, the Equality Act, which will be voted on next week in the House, not only forces acceptance of sexual confusion in the nation, it advances abortion to a new level. Mary Beth Waddell, senior legislative assistant here at the Family Research Council, is here to explain. And speaking of abortion, Dr. Mark Harris, former pastor of First Baptist Church Charlotte, will be speaking at a rally to override Governor Cooper's veto in the state of North Carolina, his veto of the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Dr. Harris will be there on behalf of the Family Research Council at the state capitol. He joins us later with the details. Also, I'll continue my conversation about the George Washington mural in San Francisco that soon may be destroyed. My good friend Bishop Harry Jackson is here to join me in that conversation. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, the House Democrats are not happy that Planned Parenthood is being targeted for defunding at every turn by Republicans. So now they wrote a bill, H.R. 2157, enabling Planned Parenthood to get funds from the $250 million set aside under the Social Services Block Grant. Now, Planned Parenthood could potentially be eligible for family planning funds, health services, and monies for reconstructing health facilities. To talk about this Democratic scheme is Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina. He represents the 5th District in the state, and he serves on the Oversight and Reform Committee and the Budget Committee and the Science, Space, and Technology Committee as well. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, glad to be back, Tony. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. What is this, trying to get disaster funds to Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, and Tony, the sad part about this, this is about human lives. This isn't about anything but affecting the unborn child that has no defenses against what the Democrats are trying to do. You know, and the question on the outset, you know, you posed was, how does that relate to disaster relief? And it doesn't. You had 3 million people in Puerto Rico. 85% of them were affected by this awful catastrophe. They're hurting. 25% were their homes were totally destroyed. And to put this poison pill in just to try to get advance their agenda on killing babies is not right. And we're going to fight it, and we're going to be vocal about it. One thing I've learned about Congress, you don't sit back. You let people know what we feel, and particularly with this. This is the scene of what happened in New York with cheering crowds, mm-hmm. legislators cheering abortion is horrendous.
Well, if nothing else, I would hope that the American public would see the contrast between the two political parties. I mean, this time last year, we were continuing to see an advancement of defunding Planned Parenthood, in part because they're under federal investigation for the trafficking in baby body parts, among other things. Now you have, with that still unresolved, investigation still ongoing, you have a party that's wanting to direct disaster relief funds away from essential rebuilding to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and they're willing to hold it up. You know, and the those who have been without power, those who have had their homes totally destroyed, look at what their lives are now. And then to have this come into the picture shows you what their agenda is and shows you what they are willing to go to any ends to get this this funding for this. And, you know, the $250 million is such a sad case. The Hyde Amendment would normally stop this type thing mm-hmm. because unless, you know, the Hyde Amendment was basically if the life of the mother were in danger, would be the only way you could use federal funds with this. But now, with the fungibility, and they're able to cross money that was intended for rent, salaries, overhead, right. They can do it. And, you know, it's up to us to point out what they're doing and the fact that everybody in Puerto Rico and really the nation ought to know that this is going on.
Yeah, and to be very clear, this does not fund abortion. However, just as the president in his Title X funding restriction, where it's the co-location provision that's being contested in court, which just says you cannot do abortions and family planning under the same roof, and the Title X funding is for family planning. That's apparently not a part of this, so that they can rebuild these abortion clinics with this this money that's set aside for disasters. Now, Congressman Norman, I've not heard this argument, but I'm wondering if they're using the rationale that Republicans, after the recent storms a couple years ago in Houston and even in the storms in Louisiana, the flooding, where they allowed some of the FEMA monies to rebuild and reimburse churches. I'm wondering if they're advancing the same argument for these Planned Parenthood clinics.
I'm sure they will. I haven't heard that yet, but I'm sure they will. I mean, they have no bounds or no, rails to prevent them from doing that and for raising it. And once the money's allocated, it's gone.
Right.
And they'll pretty much transfer it to where they need it, which, like you say, a lot of it would be for new clinics and for expanding the services that they already have, which is uncalled for. And again, the big question is, how does this relate to disaster relief, and how does this deals with lives, and it shouldn't be done. And we're going to expose it and make sure that the people know it.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman, my guest. Congressman, I want to shift gears just a little bit before we run out of time. You know, speaking of disasters, you know, first responders are the first ones that are out there working not only on the disasters, but each and every day. You have a bill that you are advancing called Putting Our First Responders First Act. Tell us about it.
Yeah, basically it should be a bipartisan bill that I think will get support from Democrats and Republicans. I know it's going to be a companion bill introduced in the Senate, but basically, when you retire, it's not taxed. You know, it's the dollars that go to our first responders, which is meager to say the least, it takes away the taxability part of it. And a lot of people just don't realize that when they do retire, that it's automatically taxed. And the small provision that's in there, they have either overlooked or just not known about. Hopefully we're going to put this in statute and get it passed in what is this session is about as polarizing as I've seen. Hopefully on this bill alone, we can get this done.
Yeah, I would think that you could get both parties to come to agreement over taking care of our first responders who are injured in the line of duty. And, you know, giving them a benefit that would normally go to retirees anyway.
That's right. And what better? I mean, all the first responders are, they rescue us when we're at our most vulnerable stages. And again, it's not for the money. You look at what every other line of work, from judges to the legal profession, make. And the first responders out there putting their life on the line. Mm-hmm. And this is a small thing that we should be doing, and I think we will. I think it'll be a good thing that people come together on. If it's not, then we're going to keep trying. This isn't something we're going to let loose with.
Well, I think it's good for a couple of reasons. One, I think very practical, as you say, it's not. It's significant from both the symbolism that it sends the message that we support our first responders, and I say this in full disclosure, former police officer, but when most people are running away from situations, the first responders are running to them, and they do put their lives at risk in many different ways, and not just their lives, but they're injured. I know a number of former colleagues injured in accidents and as they were responding to different calls. And so I think this is just, especially given what in the last 5-6 years, kind of the tension between the public and law enforcement, I think this is a good gesture to show that, you know, the Congress still standing with our first responders.
Yeah, and so many of them, Tony, have had to take second jobs to make ends meet. And the fact that they're, when they're injured, they can't do that because they don't have they don't have the health to do it. This is a small step on something that should have been done anyway.
Yeah, well, I commend you on that. And do you have a bill number yet? I don't know if it's been introduced. Do you have a bill number?
The bill number, let me look. We have not had it assigned yet. Actually, we're dropping it today.
Okay. Well, good. Well, we'll get the help get that word out on that one. What else should people be looking for? We're going to be talking about coming up. We're going to be talking about the Equality Act. That's going to be on the House floor most likely next Wednesday. What are some of the other things our listeners should be looking out for?
Well, you know, we've got the discharge petition for, hopefully we were going to get enough people to bring that to the floor on abortion, which they haven't done yet. Hadn't gotten the 218 to bring it. You know, it's the Mueller investigation continues to take front and center stage with the media. I'm sure the different committees and my committee with the Oversight Committee will be calling up trying to get different people back, which is beating a dead horse. You know, the Equality Act, which, you know, is so frustrating to be in, to go into the House and get voted down because we don't have the numbers, but it gives us more impetus to get the majority back. And thank God for the Senate and thank God for Donald Trump to stop it.
Yeah, well, we're hoping the Senate holds. Sometimes we wonder about the Senate, but certainly we got the president. We got two stops after that to try to keep it from advancing. Congressman, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for stopping by today and giving us the latest on the Democrats' effort to fund Planned Parenthood.
My pleasure, Tony. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, sir. Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. I'm telling you, there's not a piece of legislation that is in the listing of priorities of the Democratic Party that does not touch on abortion or human sexuality. I mean, it increasingly is becoming the polar opposite of the Republican Party. And I hope you're paying attention to this, that the consequences of elections. Now, sometimes things, and I will tell you, I'll be the first to say, things did not move as fast as I would have liked to have seen them in the last 2 years. In fact, a lot of things didn't move. But it's certainly better than what we're seeing today. We're fighting all this bad stuff out of the House. By the way, 199 signatures on the discharge, need 218. Help us. Go to TonyPerkins.com and join our in-birthday abortion campaign. It's at TonyPerkins.com. All right, don't go away. A lot more Washington Watch to come. On the other side of the break, Gordon Chang joins us to weigh in on the trade negotiations with China. Why is it important? We're going to talk with him about it next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, China said Tuesday its top trade negotiator will visit the United States for talks with American counterparts this week, even as Washington stepped up pressure with plans to hike tariffs and complaints that Beijing was backtracking on its commitments. This is important, not only for trade purposes, but China's gone further and further to the dark side, in my view. Well, here to help us understand the dynamics taking place in these trade negotiations is our good friend Gordon Chang. He's the author of The Coming Collapse of China. He's given briefings at the National Intelligence Council, the CIA, the State Department, and the Pentagon. He has appeared before the House Committee on Foreign Affairs and the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission. Gordon, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony.
It really looks like President Trump, we talked about this last time you were on, they were beginning these trade negotiations once again. It really looks like President Trump is playing tough, and he is bringing China to the table, it appears.
Well, he certainly is, and he's doing the right thing. His tweet on Sunday, he said that he was going to raise tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods from 10 to 25% and impose 25% tariffs on another $325 billion of Chinese goods. That is going to bring the Chinese to the point where they realize they've got to talk to us in good faith. So far, the tariffs have started the negotiations, but China's been delaying a lot, as we've just found, and not talking to us with the seriousness of purpose that we need. So we can be a lot more optimistic now that President Trump has taken a much tougher posture.
So whose economy is more fragile?
Well, China certainly is. First of all, we're growing at a 3.2% clip. That's the first quarter of this year. China claimed 6.4% growth for the same quarter, but is probably growing 1% or 2%, if that. The big issue, though, Tony, is that in order to get whatever growth it has, China has been incurring debt 5.5 times faster than it's been producing nominal gross domestic product. That's up from 1.5 times from about a year ago. This is spectacular. It is scary. The Chinese certainly know it. And one other statistic that shows the relationship between the two countries. Last year, China's merchandise trade surplus with the U.S. accounted for 129.6%, 129.6% of its overall merchandise surplus. That shows extraordinary dependence on the U.S. market.
Well, when we look at, let's put for a moment, just put the trade issue aside, the economic relationship, but when we look where China is going on human rights, on religious freedom, what they're doing to the Uyghur Muslims, how they're using facial recognition to track their citizens, the social score that they're using. I mean, in many ways, by continuing to give them an advantage over us in trade, we're facilitating them building this repressive regime.
Oh, you're certainly right. I mean, it's first of all, the surveillance state that China's putting together is total control. This is totalitarianism in China, not authoritarianism. But also, you know, we're helping fund China's military expansion. And we have, at the same time, senior Chinese military officers openly talking in public about attacks on the U.S. Navy. And in December, one of those military officers, a rear admiral, actually talked about sinking two aircraft carriers and killing 10,000 Americans. I don't think we should be trading with a country that is openly gloating and boasting and hoping to kill Americans.
What do Americans have at stake in this? I mean, you know, we get a lot of cheap products from China, and Americans more and more are consumers. What's at risk for the United States in this?
Our sovereignty, our freedom, our way of life, that's what's at risk. Yeah, yes, we can get, for instance, cheap goods, but we can get those goods from other countries. And by the way, Tony, we can bring some of this manufacturing, the most important part of manufacturing sector, we can bring it back into the U.S., which is already starting to happen. So for us, there's so many good things if we disengage from China to the maximum extent possible. And remember, China's stealing somewhere between $100 and $600 billion a year in U.S. intellectual property. I put it at, you know, a rough guess, $300 to $400 billion. Whatever it is, even at the low side, it is a grievous wound to America. We cannot allow that to continue.
Now, some of the trade experts that are monitoring this and some that are even involved in it are suggesting that China will never meet all the U.S. demands. Do you agree with that?
As long as the Communist Party rules, as long as Xi Jinping is there, that's certainly right. Xi Jinping believes in a state-dominated economy. The role for foreigners is basically to come, give money, surrender technology, and leave. And he doesn't really believe in the notion of comparative advantage, which underpins international commerce. So how can you have a trade agreement with a guy who doesn't believe in trade? This just, to me, is so counterintuitive, you know, in terms of trying to solve decades of failed trade agreements by signing up another one. So I believe that the best thing to do for us is to isolate ourselves, trade with our friends, don't trade with our enemies.
So has Xi Jinping met his match in Donald Trump?
I actually think so. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, Xi Jinping doesn't face elections, he's powerful, all the rest of it. But what we're seeing, though, is China being pushed around. And that is something that nobody has witnessed for about four decades. Because for four decades, we had this engagement policy, which was to try to bring China into the international system. And because of that, we were extraordinarily solicitous of them, and we put their interests sometimes ahead of ours. Not this president. This president believes that he's going to defend the American people because they elected him.
Mm. Gordon, always great to have you on. I always enjoy hearing your perspective on this, and we're going to be tracking this very, very closely. So I'm sure you'll want to touch base next week.
Thank you so much, Tony.
All right, Gordon Chang. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. I am going to watch this very closely because I think that there's so much more at stake here than just economic transactions, more than trade. China has become one of the greatest oppressors, repressors of human rights and, of course, violators of religious freedom. And we should not be holding them up with our dollars. All right, don't go away. When we come back, more on the Equality Act. Yes, bad for religious freedom, but also an attack on life. That's next. Don't go away.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influences weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
You are listening to Washington Watch, and I am Tony Perkins, your host. Thanks so much for joining us. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, over the last few weeks, we have established that the Equality Act is a bad idea. Number one, because it would torpedo the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It would trample upon religious freedom. But there is more. Another bad ripple effect is how it would impact the issue of protecting life in the womb. Now, it's amazing to me, almost every priority of the Democratic Party has something to do with advancing abortion. Remember, this is H.R. 5. This is one of the top priorities of Nancy Pelosi. So how would this affect the sanctity of human life? Well, joining me to talk about it is Mary Beth Waddell. She is a senior legislative assistant here at the Family Research Council. Mary Beth, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
All right, Mary Beth, let's jump right into it. How does the Equality Act, I mean, we've established how it tramples upon religious freedom. How does this affect the sanctity of human life?
Well, one of the, it's such a massive bill that makes so many changes to so many laws, one of which is public accommodations. In the Civil Rights Act, it says that, you know, in public accommodations like restrooms, restaurants, hotels, places of entertainment, that you cannot discriminate on the basis of race, color, national origin, or religion. Well, now it adds sex to that list, and then it expands what a public accommodation is, that it includes any establishment that provides health care, and that it includes an individual whose operations affect commerce, you know, and provides a good service or program and isn't just a brick-and-mortar physical facility or place. And the way that this has been defined in the past, the Equality Act goes on to say that on the basis of pregnancy or related medical condition is how they determine basis of sex, that it includes on the basis of pregnancy or related medical condition, which has been interpreted to include abortion by both the Third Circuit and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission whenever it was determining Title III's on the basis of sex. So it sort of hides under this umbrella of sex.
So, Mary Beth, was this a deliberate attempt to try to slip this into H.R. 5?
Oh, I certainly think they knew what they were doing, that they intended for this to be extremely broad and to intentionally cover, you know, health care in this way, because they consider abortion to be health care. And so they wanted to just, you know, lump it in.
So in what other ways would this, I think this would essentially eliminate the Hyde Amendment that has been on these appropriations bills for almost over 40 years. This would make abortion basically universal in our federal policy.
Absolutely. Historically, any time that quote-unquote sex discrimination has been added to federal law, pro-life members of Congress have secured rules of construction to make sure that it doesn't require funding of abortion and those types of things. But that's not included here. So, you know, with this expansion of public accommodations to include health care and to include this, there is no, you know, protection, you know, that would be equivalent to Hyde. And because you don't have to be a physical place for this to be covered, states could get roped in, could be defined as a public accommodation for health care because they provide that good or service.
Wow, this is really far-reaching in its effect. This is H.R. 5, folks. We're talking about the Equality Act, which will be voted on next Wednesday in the House of Representatives. So you certainly need to be weighing in on this. Mary Beth, what about the rights of conscience for medical profession? I'll get it out. How would this affect that?
As you've already mentioned, with RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, being exempted and not applying, you know, when it comes to the Equality Act, there would really be no defense for, like, Catholic hospitals and medical staff and others, you know, as we saw with Little Sisters of the Poor and Kathy DiCarlo and those sorts of situations, for them to have a legal defense against a claim of sex discrimination because they wouldn't participate or provide an abortion, that they could face a lawsuit and not have a legal defense for it.
Wow. This undermines a lot of the pro-life gains that have been made and status quo, things that have been agreed to by both sides over the last 45 years. So this is extensive and expansive in the abortion agenda that's being pushed by Nancy Pelosi and crew.
Absolutely. If it's not changed and if it passes the House as is, it could be one of the most pro-abortion pieces of legislation to pass the House in probably a decade.
Wow. Mary Beth, thanks so much for joining us and giving us this update.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Mary Beth Waddell, Senior Legislative Assistant here at the Family Research Council. All right. And you need to weigh in on this. Call your member of Congress, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121, the number to call to let your voice be heard. This is serious. This ground, and it'll go from the House to the Senate, but I'm hopeful the Senate will be a solid backstop, but we never know. Weigh in now. Whether you have a Democratic member of Congress that represents you or a Republican, does not matter. All right, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, we'll get an update from North Carolina. Mark Harris joins us. There's a big rally there at the Capitol tonight. He joins us to tell us all about it. Don't go away.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday
to you. Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you visit the website, you can find out more about how you can join us July the 7th through the 14th for a cruise to Alaska. My wife will be with me, along with several of the FRC team, like former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, General Jerry Boykin, former Ambassador Kim Blackwell. Not only will you be able to enjoy the beautiful scenery of Alaska, but you'll get a mind look what's happening in Washington, D.C. To find out how you can join us, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, as we've talked about multiple times before in the last week or so, the governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, vetoed the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Now, in the Senate, they actually overrode his veto. It now goes to the House. The House waiting to override the veto as well. A little heavier of a lift in the House, as we talked about with the Senate author. But tonight, at the state capitol in Raleigh, there will be a rally to encourage the override of Governor Cooper. And one of FRC's team members will be there. That is former senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Charlotte. He is also the former president of the North Carolina Baptist Convention and is a part of the FRC team and helping build community impact teams across the nation for our bold advance. And he joins us now, Dr. Mark Harris. Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, it's great to be with you, Tony. Thank you very much.
And you're back on the campaign trail. You're a Republican candidate for Congress in North Carolina's 9th Congressional District, so you know a lot about politics and what's happening in North Carolina. And this evening, you're going to be joining a number of people there for a rally encouraging people to take a stand for the unborn.
Absolutely. It's we have a real opportunity here in North Carolina to join 31 other states, frankly, that have similar legislation that basically just calls for a child that survives an abortion, that he or she should be treated with the same degree of medical concern and attention as any other child. And we have a real opportunity to gather tonight in Raleigh and rally to for the House of Representatives here in North Carolina to override our governor's veto and to pray for that to happen. And I'm looking forward to that meeting tonight.
So, Mark, what do you think the prospects are that the House, because I think you're going to need about six or seven Democratic members of the House to join in the effort. What do you think the prospects are?
Well, from what I'm understanding, there were four Democrats originally that voted for this bill. And I think a number of them, I can't say all of them, but I think several of them have already committed that they will vote to override. If all four that voted for it the first time were to hold, then that means we would need three more in order to override it to get the 72 votes. There's 65 Republicans in the North Carolina House, and it takes seven Democrats joining them to override it. So I think we have a good shot. That's the purpose of this rally tonight, to encourage people to really take a stand. Also, it's a prayer vigil. And as you and I know, prayer changes things. And we're praying for God just to move in a mighty way upon the legislators to step up and do what obviously needs to be done. This is not a radical bill by any stretch of the imagination. This is just doing the right thing.
So, Mark, how can folks join tonight at the rally? What time? Where will it be?
The rally's at 7 o'clock at the North Carolina Legislature. It's going to be at Bicentennial Plaza there on East Edenton Street. And folks can come and join. We have several folks that are going to be speaking there. Senator Joyce Krawitz, who was the one of the sponsors on the Senate side, is going to be speaking. Representative Pat McElrath, who's one of the sponsors. And then we've got a special guest in Claire Colwell, who is an abortion survivor, is going to be speaking there tonight, as well as Dr. Matthew Harrison, who is going to be talking about the abortion pill reversal. So there's a lot of things happening here in North Carolina that I think are really good things, and we've just got to get the public support behind it and get our legislators over the finish line to take care of it. So tonight at 7 o'clock is a great way for folks to be involved at the General Assembly.
All right. Well, we'll encourage all of our listeners there in North Carolina that can get there tonight for that important rally to join you there. And by the way, Dr. Harris, welcome back to the FRC team. Great to have you back on the team.
I am thrilled to be a part of this. This is an incredible organization that is doing incredible work. And, Tony, your leadership has certainly been a blessing to many across the nation, and I'm just honored to be a part of it.
Well, we're grateful for you, and thanks so much for joining us, and look forward to seeing and hearing about the outcome tonight. Dr. Mark Harris, Community Impact Team Outreach Director for the Family Research Council, just joining our team after spending some time on the campaign trails. He ran for Congress in this last cycle. All right. I want to transition to another topic here before we run out of time. I mentioned this at the top of the program. Yesterday, I entered Peter Kuo, who was the vice chair of the California Republican Party, about a controversial 1936 mural of President George Washington that it's at the George Washington High School in San Francisco. Now, it's being, after a series of meetings, they're considering taking it down. There are 13 panels known as the Life of Washington. Now, let me give you a little context, a little more context. I did a little more research overnight on this before I bring in my final guest to talk about this. What brought this to the forefront was the fact that they were moving to make this high school a landmark because, I mean, it's just an old high school and there's a lot of history there. Well, it was denied by the San Francisco Board of Education because of the alleged derogatory images that were in two of the 13 panels. Now, there's a little bit of irony here in this controversy, considering the background of the mural. Now, this was done by a Russian who came to the United States and then went back to Russia, Viktor Arnatov, who was a communist. And this mural actually was designed to portray George Washington in a less than favorable light. He wanted to highlight what he called the conquest of the Indians or the Native Americans. also wanted to depict George Washington as a slave owner, which he was, but was not prominently featured in history at that time, back in the 30s. And so he was putting these things forward really kind of as a backhanded slap at American history. In fact, Arnotoff was interrogated by the House Un-American Activities Committee in their 1955 campaign to have him removed from the faculty at Stanford University. Now, this mural was funded by the WPA. That was the back during the Depression, they did a lot of public work projects, and this was actually the largest WPA-funded single artist mural on the Pacific Coast. So I mention all of that just to say that now the left, they're the ones that are upset with this mural because of its depiction of things that occurred in history, even though when it was created, the depiction of the African Americans, the slaves, and the Indians was designed to be a slap at Washington and American history. So what do we do with all of this history? Yes, there are issues in American history where we clearly got it wrong. But do we ignore that? Do we eradicate it? Do we erase it? What's going on here? How should we approach this as Christians? We had some really, I think we had an insightful conversation with some callers yesterday. And so I decided to invite my good friend, Bishop Harry Jackson, who pastors in Maryland, who also, in full disclosure, has been a longtime friend of mine. We actually wrote a book together called Personal Faith, Public Policy. Now, his background is he historically has been a Democrat. I'm a Republican. He's a conservative Christian, but not a Republican activist, put it that way. So he joins me now. Bishop Jackson, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thank you for having me.
Well, when I was thinking about this, I had some very insightful callers that raised issues with this. And I thought, well, this is something that deserves a conversation and someone who I trust, who I think will look at this very objectively. And so what do we do when we look at our history and there are aspects of our history that certainly are not, well, quite frankly, they're not flattering of America? But do we eradicate those for two reasons? Look, we're looking at those from 2019. This was 83 years ago that it was actually done. But this is just one example of what we've seen happening lately where there's an effort to, as I said, eradicate American history. How should we approach this?
Well, I think we should let the history, in this case, stand. I had the ability to look at a derogatory picture with a Native American guy on the ground. It looks like Washington's foot is on his back, and it's a depiction of the conquest of Native Americans. What I think this could be is a conversation piece in terms of classes can talk about what happened with the Native Americans, our treaties with them. It could be used in a lot of positive ways to talk about real history, or we could whitewash everything, forgive the bad language there in a sense. My progressive friends may call that bad. And just say, we didn't have these attitudes, we're not going to depict them. I'd rather have them discussed. And I feel as though this is kind of making a mountain out of a molehill. There ought to be the ability for history teachers to make clear presentation of what actually happened and what our aspirations are as a people. So I feel as though we are in this juncture, I know you would agree with me on this, that there is an attempt by certain parties, predominantly on the progressive side, who want people to say things in a very politically correct manner or show things only from their perspective, and they don't want dialogue, they don't want discussion, they don't want kids to weigh in. And therefore, many, many African Americans and Hispanics have no idea, and Native Americans have no idea what the real American history was, and they don't get a chance to weigh in and even discuss it from an educational point of view.
When we look at this from a biblical perspective, I mean, let's take the Old Testament, the instruction to the children of Israel. History was an important part, recording that history, recording significant events. And, you know, there's even the admonition not to remove the ancient landmarks. You know, again, not all of our history is flattering, but it is our history. And, you know, I'm sure, by the way, I've gotten, and I appreciate the emails I got overnight. I read those from those who listened to yesterday's program. But the Indians, Native Americans, to make sure I don't upset any of the progressives, the reality is there were problems on both sides. Yes, we broke treaties. Yes, we did some cruel things. But so did the Indians. So there was problems on both sides. We're human beings. We're all human. We're all fallen.
Yes.
Doesn't justify what we did, but we did it, and it's a part of American history.
Well, we did, and you may not know this, but I am part Native American. My grandmother and my mother, you would have seen that in their skin color, hair texture, etc. And so in the places they were raised in North Carolina, there was quite interracial kind of marriages, weddings, family. So I know a little bit about the history.
Well, you should be double offended then by this mural.
Well, I am, because I think that, again, we rewrite history. We don't give it the depth and intentionality and intensity it needs. And we paint pictures with an attempt. I believe that there's an attempt by many in our culture now to simply paint our founding fathers as hypocritical heathen themselves, and to diminish the impact and power of our Christianity. And I think the way that we should present this to the next generation is that we had an aspiration to be a land that would be ruled and governed by Christian biblical principles. We did not always live up to our highest principles, but the greatness of America has been our constant journey toward our higher ideals, culminating in the fact that someone like Martin Luther King Jr. could say in the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, "I have a dream."
Yeah.
And he could talk about the constitutional foundation and the biblical foundation of our country and our ideology.
Bishop, we're going to have to leave it there. Very insightful and thoughtful comments. I am absolutely glad that I invited you to come on to talk about this. Thanks so much for joining us. Folks, out of time. Want to thank you for joining us as well. Continue to email me. Love to read them. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, "You've done everything you can do, and you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand." By all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.